And so I am hemorrhaging in my 40s. What's that got to do with being left in Jamaica, age 18 months to six? Everything. It meant I kept people at a distance and didn't let them get too near, too close. I didn't know I was doing it, but it was a way of protecting myself from giving your heart to people and they don't carry it and hold it well and they drop you, let you go, move away, and that causes pain and hurt. So best protection is don't trust people and don't let them get too close. It didn't work because as human beings, and COVID's testament to that, we need interaction with other people. That's the way we're designed as human beings. And so I want one other person that's going to love me, care for me to the exclusion of all others. Yeah, but that's not safe. Yeah, but I need somebody. I call it the push me, pull you. I need you, I want you, but you're not safe. You might let me go one day. And so that push me, pull you thing goes on. But it's in my 40s, really, that it comes to a head where I realize I don't really know who I am. And that's a strange thing to say. And I use this to illustrate it. Inside here is this little guy who has built layers of protection to avoid hurt. So the inner child is deep in there. So if somebody said, stand up, the real Gary, I don't know which one is the real Gary's going to stand up. So I have to go on a journey to find me in there somewhere. And I know I kept seeing red when I see my mom. And I'm angry with her and I'm upset with her. And yet this is the bravest woman in the world to me that I love. She left all her family to come over to this country to give us, sacrifice for us. She would empty her purse to buy us ice cream from the ice cream van. I loved her, but I was angry and I didn't understand why I was seeing red, because there's something my brain is carrying that says she rejected me, she let me go. Now, that's not logic, but that's what my brain experienced. So it meant in adulthood, in my way of doing it was to avoid getting close to adults and letting them too close to me. For others, they will try and fill the void with lots of relationships, but they're likely controlling those relationships. And certainly don't let your heart go to that person until you've tested them. And for me, the testing is a bit like the Westerns that I watch. It's the bucking horse. I'm going to buck but the horse that's not been broken in. Yeah, I'm going to buck and I'm going to. And if you stay long enough, I'll put a ring on it. Because I've tested you and I can see you're not going to leave me. So relationships and those partners can go through a real hard time because they're being tested to see if they will ever leave. And if they do, then it's a self-fulfilling prophecy, which is, I knew you would, I knew you would, I knew you would. I'm never going to let this happen again. And so one goes deeper down with any next partner to give them an even harder ride when you get up and try it again. Attachment issues, Raymond, they're going to address those. We're going to fill the void with.
Yes. I think I understand. I understand. Look, just to sum it up, there are two different approaches to this thing. There is
lots of different approaches.
The one that Gary does. Yeah. He says that you need to heal for 1 year. So let's say you stopped your addiction, then you went sober for 1 year. Then you heal that void, and now you're ready to create that relationship. Okay, my approach is different. Because Gary's approach is more like a therapist. My approach is more like a coach, because I look into the future and I push you to get those goals that you want. And that's why I tell you to work on grieve, heal a little bit, but then start taking action toward the relationship. And Eldon asked this question, and basically, what he said was this. Roman told me last week, since I'm 21, I need to focus on having sex and having fun. I'm doing amazing. And he had this, he connected to this girl. So this is my approach. And I'm not saying that one approach is right or wrong. It's individual. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, Gary, let me ask you this. How long do you think it takes to get rid of porn addiction?
the answer that I gave you before.
One year.
I don't talk about somebody having achieved a sobriety for 1 year from the last time they're acting out. I really don't.
Okay. And let's say in your practice, are there people who can do it more quickly than in just 1 year?
They can achieve the sobriety, different people, different ways. But when you say, I think your question is, are there people that find it less hard or harder, really? Because people do achieve it and can achieve it. But when you say within 1 year, whatever they've, if they're not acting out, that is the great place to be, because by not reopening the past behaviors, you're allowing the old neural pathways to extinguish. But at the same time, you are creating a new pattern, a new hamster wheel, a new habit, a new neural pathway. If you don't fill the void of taking the old one out with something else, then the brain will find another to fill its place. Because in this work, Roman, it's not often that there will just be one addiction. Typically, there is a co-addiction waiting in the wings to fill the void of the porn or the sex that comes down. But what we haven't watched is, but the gaming or the extra glass of wine with one's meal is increasing, and often that isn't spotted. And I talk about watching the back door, even though you've bolted the front door, you haven't noticed what's coming through the back door. And it's a co-addiction, because porn isn't about porn and sex isn't about sex. It's about managing emotions and self-soothing. So if you get rid of the main one that was being used by your brain, something else is going to come in the back door to fill the void, unless you give it a more positive pattern of behaviors. And that's what I would be doing in the recovery program.